Yeah, so funny actually, I couldn't correlate a skill that I've learned in school to my business. There hasn't been necessarily one thing that really stands out. Whereas YouTube, I can say the advertising side, setting up conversion tracking, learned that on YouTube. How to split tests and when you should know when you've exhausted local creatives, YouTube.
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. Hey, everybody. I am very excited to talk to Lincoln today. He's I think he sort of defines Formidable. He was the first grantee when we interviewed that we actually gave the grant to within the interview. I think I was messaging Nick on the side, and I was like, I think we should just give it to him right now. And I think you'll hear exactly why as we talk to Lincoln. So without further ado, Lincoln, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Lincoln Snyder. I'm the owner of Sunshine Exteriors, or an exterior cleaning company located in Denton, Texas. We do anything from gutter cleaning to power washing to window cleaning, fence staining, holiday lighting this year. I started my business around 20 months ago, started just doing power washing, then transformed to window cleaning as well. And kind of as I've gotten going, I've expanded my services and we've kind of grown to serve more customers. And now we've served just over 300 people.
That's great. All right. So 20 months ago, and just to give people a sense for the scale of the business, what's revenue looking like?
So this year for revenue, it will be just over 60,000. But around 27,000 of that will have been done in the last 45 days. So that holiday lighting this year has done just almost half of the total revenue. I think we ended up doing 27,100, just winter. So that's very promising for next year and kind of where we'll go as far as focusing on Christmas lights.
Okay, so amazing. I just want to restate that. That's $60,000 of revenue in the last 12 months. I think there's very well-funded Silicon Valley startups that aren't doing $60,000 of revenue. And there's a lot of wisdom embedded in Lincoln's answer around products because he's introduced a bunch of new services. So we'll dig into that. Lincoln, maybe just tell us what grade you're in, where you go to school, all that stuff as well.
Yeah, so I go to school at Lake Dallas. It's a smaller city in the kind of current DFW area. I'm a senior right now. I started my business as a junior. I think that kind of once I became a junior, that really helped me kickstart my business because I was around the age getting my driver's license. And there's a lot more you can do once you can kind of get around. As far as kind of my life at school, I play sports. I'm on the football team. Played my last game not too long ago. Other than that, in school, I try to take as many business classes as I can. That's just what I enjoy.
Okay, great. And I want to get into some thoughts you had on school that you shared with us, which I think were really insightful. I guess before that, this business, was this your first kind of exploration of entrepreneurship, or were you doing, you know, other stuff to make money before? Did you have any jobs? Maybe walk us through that.
Yeah, so kind of starting in middle school was when I first started, I guess, experimenting with the idea of entrepreneurship. I would just do little things like sell candy. I know that business didn't last too long just because at school they weren't very fond of the idea of me going around during class and kind of, I don't know, hustling and distracting kids, I guess, was their idea of it. But I think thinking back to those days, that was what kind of created that spark for me. And those moments are really special to me when I think back as far as my entrepreneurial journey. After middle school, right when I turned 16, I started working at Walmart. It was good for a little while. I wasn't very fond of the structure. Maybe that's not a good way to put it. But I wanted to do something on my own. I wanted to see what I was capable of doing. I felt like I was very limited by what they thought I was capable of doing. And I knew that I could do more than they were putting trust into me. And so that's kind of when I decided to go out and start my own business.
Okay, amazing. Can you say more about the experience working for somebody else? Like, how is that, in what ways is that very different than owning your own business?
So off the bat, for sure, for young entrepreneurs, I mean, they're giving you your first job. I know even before Walmart, I had an interview for a car wash, something as simple as maybe towel drying cars or helping people check out on a machine. I didn't get it. And I was like, how could I not get that? It seemed like such a simple thing to do. And it's just being young and then that being your first job, you really have to earn your employer's trust. And I think that carries through. As you kind of try to get promotions, you're trying to earn their trust and prove to them that you can do what you know you can do. And I think that once I got out of that, I realized how much freedom I had and how I didn't have to rely on someone else to tell me what I could and couldn't do. And I think that that was a much better feeling as far as kind of just being able to, I don't know, do my own thing.
Got it. Okay. So let's start now at the do your own thing. Now you've built this really successful business. It looks like it's, you know, kind of accelerating. Let's go back to the early beginning. Like, what even gave you the idea to, you know, you realized you didn't want to work for somebody else. What gave you the idea to do power washing to start?
Yeah. So obviously I'm a kid. I'm on social media. There's a lot of different businesses that you'll see kids starting on social media. For example, sneaker reselling or power washing or car detailing is another pretty good one. Power washing was something that I knew I could get into. I had a power washer at home and I was like, hey, I've power washed my house before. Why couldn't I go to someone else and ask them if I could power wash theirs and they give me a little money for it? So I would say the initial idea kind of started from social media. And then kind of growing those skills that it takes to run a business. I would also refer back to social media, Google as well, doing research.
Okay. And so actually, I think this is really interesting. You know, folks sort of deride social media as always being a negative, right? It sounds like LinkedIn's figured out ways to use it to actually create something. So there's a lot of goodness there. Walk us through how you got that first customer. So you figure out you want to do power washing. Yeah. How does customer one land?
Yeah, so there's a funny story to it actually, but I got my power washer, tested it, made sure it worked. I made sure I had some gas in the gas can, and then I just went around my neighborhood. At that point, I did have a car. I think it was around the time I had a car. So I was going around my neighborhood, just going door to door. A simple script, something like, hey, my name's Lincoln. I live on the house on the corner over there. I'd point to it. Say, do you have anything you need power washed? I think it took me, I went all the way down my street and then all the way down the next street. And then I finally got one person, so maybe 50 people. And it was a hot Texas summer day. So it was very vivid memories of denial and rejection and just the heat. But once I got that one, I kind of packed up my power washing stuff, drove over to the house, got started. I think it was like $185, which wasn't too bad for my first job. And then I got started. Around 30 minutes in, my power washer broke. I was kind of stuck. So what I had to do was use some of the money I had saved up from Walmart to go buy another one. And then I think that job ended up taking me maybe like 5 hours just because I hadn't invested into the better equipment yet.
Got it. Okay. And so you're knocking on 50 doors in this like really hot summer day. Before you started, did you have like a limit? Did you say like, hey, I'm going to knock on 100 doors and if I don't get a gig, I'm out? Or like, how did you approach that first day? Like, what made you do 50? Like, why didn't you stop at 25? Did you have a number you were targeting or what made you keep going?
Yeah, so I just kind of went out there thinking it would be easy, honestly. I expected to get it in the first 10. I mean, I was a young kid. I figured I'd maybe get some slack, but quickly I realized that that wasn't the case. And I think I was very fortunate that that first day I did get a customer because I think that was another moment in my journey where I kind of realized, okay, entrepreneurship might be for me. And it wasn't necessarily that I was the right person. I had the right skills. It was just that it was just kind of one of those things that clicked and I got that customer and that's kind of set me on the right path. Definitely wasn't a specific number in mind. I think I just kind of went until I found someone. I was very lucky that I did.
Okay, amazing. I'm curious where this entrepreneurial drive came from. Did you grow up in an entrepreneurial household? Did you take a class that turned this on to you? You just watched a lot of Shark Tank? Like any idea where this came from?
So all my parents work corporate jobs. They all work 9 to 5. Mom's a nurse. My dad works in an office doing management things. I think the biggest thing for entrepreneurship for me was YouTube, just learning about businesses. And then eventually that turned into learning about owning your own business. At first, I was very interested in finance. So I thought I might want to be a financial advisor or something along the lines of that. But then I realized part of business is finance. And so being able to do, it's kind of what I like about business. It's not necessarily one specific field as much as multiple. You have to generally kind of know multiple different things to get into business. So no really prior experience. I've never really been around entrepreneurs before that, but it was just kind of finding my own way through social media.
Okay, nice. All right, for any parents listening, see, social media is not all bad. All right, so you walked us through the pitch on those first 50, you know, the 50th person said yes. I'm curious, how has the pitch changed, if it has, from that first day to now? Like now, what do you tell folks when you meet them? And you know, yeah, let's just start there.
Can we do it? Can we do a, can you be the homeowner?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Are you ready? Hey, how's it going?
It's good. Thanks for, who are you?
Awesome. Have you seen me on the street at all today?
I think I saw you next door at the house, but I'm not sure if that was you.
Yeah, perfect. We're actually over on that house over there. That's Sally's house. What we're doing for her, I can kind of show you if you just take a step outside.
Okay.
Redirect the homeowner to the windows. You want to find a window that's dirty. So when you're walking up to the house, you want to find that window. And that's going to be the pain point that you're selling them. You say, hey, I saw some dust and dirt on this window. And what you can do is actually wipe your finger on the window to show them the dust and dirt. And that'll kind of bring it to their attention. What we're doing for her is we're cleaning the windows, frames, sills, and screens. Because we're over at her house, we can actually give you a better deal. Just because we're already on the street, no truck fee. What I can do for you, no obligation, is just run around, count up your windows, and give you a quick price, just so you know what it would be. And then from that point, if they say no, obviously you kind of go in more detail. But if they say yes, run around the house, count up the windows, come back with the price, and then you kind of deal with objections from there.
Okay, fantastic. That's really good. And so what's your close rate now? You know, initially you were 2%, 1 out of 50. What's that look like now with this much more pain point specific pitch that you do?
Yeah, so I stopped doing door to door relatively quickly just because it was kind of an all day thing. I would spend all day going door to door. My best day though, I closed 3 jobs and I think we did like $700 just going door to door, no paying for leads, nothing. And so I think I probably knocked on maybe 70 doors that day. So maybe 1 out of 30, 1 out of 20, something like that.
Okay. All right. So there was a big insight or big nugget you dropped in that last comment, which was you're not going door to door anymore. So how are you getting new business now?
Yeah. So we've pretty much completely transitioned to digital marketing. Right now we're using an app called Nextdoor. We do organic and paid advertising on there, paid ads for Christmas lights we've done, experimenting with the different headlines, call to actions, split testing, things like that. As far as organic posts, we found a good way to position ourselves as local high school students, and neighbors on Nextdoor seem to respond well to that because they are normally parents with kids, especially in our area because we live by a high school and we're kind of surrounded in a little circle of high schools. That's what kind of strikes a chord with them and it resonates with them. So that works for us. And we've done some Facebook experiments with Facebook ads. Other than that, we have Google Business Profile set up. As far as next year, I want to work on getting some Google pay-per-click ads, things like that.
Okay. Wow. All right. And so you said we, so what's that mean in the business now? Do you have employees? Like what does we mean?
Yeah. So the way it kind of works, just because so what I do is I like to find a few students from my school who I think are driven. I think they're leaders and I think they have to be willing to work, obviously. There's some kids who maybe just, you know, they're kind of enjoying high school, maybe not ready to have a job yet. So a lot of the times I'll have kids come up to me and say, hey, let me work with you. That's typically their pitch. But I found a few good kids. I have around maybe 4 part-time employees right now, and they can do just about anything on their own. So I'm kind of out of the day-to-day for now, as much as I want to be.
Okay, that's amazing. How's managing people? How's that been, you know, how's that gone? What have you learned? What's been challenging?
I think I have a lot to learn. still. And I think that, so yeah, I mean, you can read all the books that you, you can read every book. How to Win Friends and Influence People is a big one everyone talks about. And I mean, I could read it 5 times front and back, and it's a different skill being able to apply those to the situations where you're managing people. And I think that that is a big trait that now managing a small team, I understand that higher ups in companies have that skill. That's a crucial skill to have to be able to manage a big business. I've learned lessons in it for sure, but I think I have a long way to go. And I can kind of see that in myself.
Okay. All right. That's great. I mean, I think there's a great insight there. It's kind of like, you know, you don't learn how to ride a bike by reading a book, right? Like, you just got to get out there and actually do it. Let me ask you about Nextdoor marketing and Facebook and some of these other things. Where did you learn about those as potential channels? And then how did you learn, I mean, even the language you're using, you know, sort of organic versus paid versus PPC, where does all that knowledge come from? Is that...
Yeah, so funny, actually, I couldn't correlate a skill that I've learned in school to my business. There hasn't been necessarily one thing that really stands out. Whereas YouTube, I can say the advertising side, setting up conversion tracking, learned that on YouTube. How to split tests and when you should know when you've exhausted local creatives, YouTube. I think that a lot of that I can attribute to YouTube.
Okay, so you've learned a bunch on YouTube. You said not a lot you've taken from school. I'd love to just get your views on, like, what's school missing for you? Like, what are the gaps or opportunities that you see that would make maybe school more useful for you versus what it is today?
Yeah. I could go on a pretty big rant about that.
All right, let's rant.
So from my experience, school is a one-size-fits-all approach to something where there's different types of people who want different types of things. School is always going to be at the lowest level learner. Obviously, they have some classes to kind of weed those people out and give them the help that they need. But other than that, you have a wide range of people in one classroom trying to learn at the same level. It's not going to work. What I think that would take is different classes. I think that school's curriculum is too black and white. I think that they do electives, but I don't think they do it right. I think that you don't have enough freedom to choose what you get to learn. I've learned that in the course of my entire high school experience. I think I've maybe had one class that I truly enjoyed because I got to pick it. I'm taking sign language, and I don't want to learn sign language, but I have to because I have to take a language class. So it's things like that where it's like school could definitely be a good thing for a lot of kids, but if done right. And I don't think that the public schooling system right now is doing it right. And I would definitely like to see that change because I think that that's going to strike ideas, passion, things like that into young students and young entrepreneurs and young people, despite what profession they want to be in.
So you mentioned like not having classes maybe for folks that are, you know, faster learners, right? Like, would an AP classes and honors classes kind of handle that, or do they miss the mark in some way?
Yeah, I would definitely say they miss the mark. Once you get to college, you're kind of able to pick your career path, right, through a major, whether that's business or finance or anything like that. But when you're taking those courses in high school, most of them are just going to be the core classes. So you're taking English, maybe you're taking algebra, college algebra, you're still not getting the freedom to see those classes. They're not on the list. I mean, you're just taking college English. So while they are challenging, which is relative, I mean, there's students at our school who will get 100 on all of them, which would make me say, okay, they're probably not the most challenging, or they're still on the wrong scale, right? It's one size fits all. But I would say that seeing a better variety of classes as far as different fields of study would definitely be something that I would like to see.
And so just to be clear, you don't see a lot of applications for sign language in your life?
If I had a customer who signs, I mean...
I'm just messing with you. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Get that. Entrepreneurship. You've mentioned, I think, there's some classes around entrepreneurship at your school, which I don't know if that's commonplace, but have those classes around business and entrepreneurship missed in any way? Or what's the gap there?
Yeah. So One of the things that really confuses me is they label these classes as business and entrepreneurship. I think the gap there is that they're having a high school coach teach a class about entrepreneurship who's never experienced entrepreneurship, probably never tried to sell anything to anyone, and that's who we're trying to extract value from. For example, we have baseball coaches in our business classes, and I just don't think that that's the right person to be there. I mean, it's probably lack of funding. They can't get the right people there to teach the classes that know more about business, that know more about entrepreneurship. I think that if the schools were more focused on the teachers teaching the classes, it would work out a lot better for the students.
Okay. So social media, YouTube, definitely been very helpful. School, not so helpful. What about, you know, you see sort of characterizations of entrepreneurship online, whether it's Shark Tank or in social media. What do those get right? Where are they inaccurate in your view?
Yeah, so Shark Tank, I actually saw a funny thing about it the other day. They compress an entire hour and a half long Shark Tank pitch into 8 minutes. And now kind of saying that back, that almost sounds like business to me. When you're watching YouTubers, you're watching their highlights. You're watching the good parts. You're watching the successes. Business isn't easy. Business isn't just the highlights. Business is working long nights. Business is kind of pushing through, getting uncomfortable, and being comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that whenever you're looking at social media, you need to realize, and every young entrepreneur or any entrepreneur in general needs to realize, that it's not always going to look like that. Everyone's situation looks different, and everyone's journey is going to be a little different from what they find online.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you talked about the power washing, you know, mishap on the first thing you did and it broke, but I'm curious, as you've been building the business, have there been any other like really big obstacles that you've encountered?
I think that the biggest obstacles that I've encountered are not having the skills I need to grow the business and not having the right people around me to teach me those skills. So not being able to learn those skills from school makes it harder. Not having mentors in the same industry makes it even harder. So YouTube is great. YouTube is great when you're not trying to learn one specific thing. And in some cases it is when you are trying to just learn one specific skill. But trying, for example, when I was working on my ad platform, like I was talking about conversion tracking earlier and setting up a pixel, I don't know anything about coding. And so I was having to learn how to insert a snippet of code into my website's heading. And that's something where I didn't have anyone to ask about that because no one else is working on that I know of right now. So it definitely took some digging. And those are the kind of obstacles I encounter where I just don't know the solution and I have trouble finding the solution.
Gotcha. Okay. And do you have any mentors now, or have you tried to find folks that could sort of serve in that role, whether, you know, informally or more formally?
Yeah. So I have, for example, one of my entrepreneurship, he's an entrepreneur. His name's Austin. And so he has a company. He used to do a payment company. I think he still does. It's called C4 Payments. He does payment processing, things like that. He's really helpful as far as the tech side. He knows a lot about things like that. Another mentor for me is Doug. I'm not sure his last name, but he works at Remedy Roofing. He's just a roofer. I'm not an entrepreneur, but he helped me kind of get some connections at a roofing company, which I now subcontract for. And so I've kind of given back to him because he's a little bit older. I've helped him on the social media side of things and helped him get set up with some ways to get more customers.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, one of the things we're hoping to do with the Formidable Fellowship is, you know, hopefully this tribe of young grantees, we can get you guys all connected. And hopefully when you run into that pixel issue or the next pixel issue, somebody in that network will be able to help you. So,
yes, for sure.
Yeah, so I think hopefully that'll be a good network, you know. So I'm curious, within your school, are there a lot of other entrepreneurs, or are you kind of one of the only ones in your school?
Yeah. So for my school, I'm one of two entrepreneurs. There's another kid who cuts grass, kind of on a smaller scale, but definitely still is his own business, and he has his own lawnmowers, things like that. In the area, I know of one other from another school.
Okay. You know, given you're at 60K of revenue, you know, Christmas, is the Christmas lighting season sort of over at this point, or are people still calling to get them put up? I guess you got about 12, 13 days left.
Yeah, so funny, actually, we cut off all advertising 3 weeks ago, and we've had enough customers to last us till now, just from word of mouth, organic. We push for next four reviews, and those reviews have worked really well, especially during holiday lighting. I think we've gotten maybe 20 reviews just this season. The holiday lighting season is pretty much done now. If we get a call, we'll go help them out. But we did our last one on Monday.
And so you had power washing to start. You've added a bunch of, like, you know, call them SKUs or other products over time. Lincoln, walk me through what made you realize or think that you need to add, you know, new services to your catalog of services that you offer.
Yeah, I think my thought process has changed a lot on that. I think that in the beginning, I was kind of under the impression that I should add every service I can because then I can serve the widest range of people. Now I think it's more finding the right service as far as profit margins. What I look for in a service now is I look for something high ticket, so ideally $1,000 or more. I look for something that's going to take less than, so shooting for revenue per hour around 100 to 200. So you're looking at $1,000 or more, around $150, $200 revenue per hour. And then you're looking for something that's also repeatable so people can get on a plan. Holiday lighting has kind of been that for us just because it's such a high ticket service. The profit margins are high, and so it's something where I can spend a lot to acquire a customer. Growing the business, I think that I didn't realize that until, I would say, this season. That's just something that I didn't learn on YouTube that I had to learn through experience. And now looking forward in the next year, I have a lot of ideas as far as services and pricing for what I can do to maximize profits and grow the business.
And I'm curious, how do you think about Christmas lights on that last dimension of your kind of framework about repeatability? It seems like it's repeatable, but it's kind of infrequent. It's once a year, right? So would you look at repeatability? Are you looking ideally at once a month, once a quarter? Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely Christmas lights isn't the best as far as repeatable. But the thing is, you're almost looking at a 5-year deal, right? Because you're going to sell them your lights. And once you have them on your lights, you're most of the way there as far as having them for the next 5 years. The odds that when you have their lights and you store them for them, that they're going to go out and cancel on you is really slim, right?
Yeah.
So you custom fit everything to your home and you're the provider. Now, not only can you charge more because you have lights and they're trusting you, but you have their business for the next few years. So I think that's kind of, you're selling the first year, but you're selling that first year knowing that you're going to have them for the next 5 years.
Okay. So you've kind of, like, I don't know if it's explicitly or implicitly thought about, like, the lifetime value of that customer.
Yeah.
Okay. Really smart. Okay. It sounds like as you were building these other products and services, now you have this kind of strategy and this framework. If you had a do-over and you could go back in time and sort of wave a magic wand and change something, is there something you'd change about a product or service that you offered, or start something instead of something that you currently offer?
Yeah, I think that if I was to start from the beginning, I would have higher prices. I think that I would have, from the beginning, started to try to sell contracts. Maybe 2 window cleaning contracts, because I know there's a few companies that they'll do door-to-door sales and then they'll do 2 cleaning contracts. So you're selling 2 window cleanings, and I think that the way that they're able to get away with that is because they're giving a discount for the second one. Have to have some sort of incentive to buy that. But I think that that's also something that I can use in the future going forward, is trying to get them on those contracts, trying to upsell them and charging higher prices.
Okay. Got it. What's pricing's probably been one of the biggest topics with grantees. So you said charge more. Walk me through kind of maybe how does pricing work? You know, if you pick power washing, right? Is it just based on size of house, number of windows, how dirty the windows are? And maybe how has your thinking gotten more sophisticated on pricing over time?
Yeah, so it's funny you say that, actually. I think my idea of pricing over time, I've tried to make it as simple as possible. So now for house washing and window cleaning, it's purely based off of square footage range. So if your house is 0 to 1,800 square feet, we charge this. If it's 1,801 to 2,801, we charge this. 2,801 to 3,500, we charge this. That makes it as simple as possible for anyone trying to give an estimate. It means we can play with those prices without having to adjust a bunch of different ranges, three ranges. So if we want to increase them all by 10%, that makes it easy for us.
Okay. That's a great lesson, I think, for anybody listening, is just simplicity here, especially now, Lincoln, that you have people on your team, right? Like now it's a lot less kind of cognitive overhead for them to keep, you know, if it was like, well, number of windows times this, like
exactly.
That would just make everything complicated. So I think that's really, really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in the beginning, so, which is kind of how I learned that lesson that I needed to keep it as simple as possible. Cause from the start, I was trying to make these complex sheets and I was like, okay, they have this many windows. They're doing this inside and out. I was trying too hard to teach those estimating, not skills, but just the knowledge of estimating when it was something that I can just make simpler and that improves the efficiency and accuracy.
Got it. Yeah. If we, you know, 20-month-old business, you know, if we were sitting down with, I don't know, your parents or your best friend and ask them like, hey, since Lincoln started this company to now, like, what are the biggest changes that you've observed in him? What do you think they would say?
I think that from starting my own business at a young age specifically, I think it started the work ethic in me earlier. And I can noticeably see that in my employees, where at first I saw them and I was like, okay, they're hardworking, and seeing them work in and on the business with me, I see how much they're developing that grit and that willing to work harder. They're understanding that, okay, yeah, before I thought I could work hard, but I can really work harder than that. I think that my family and friends, I've kind of I think naturally things have changed. I've become more professional. I think I've become a better communicator. I think that I've been more persuasive, I like to think, from sales. And I think that just kind of growing those base skills has improved from since I started the business.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you find like in your personal life, you win more arguments because you're a better salesperson?
Yep. My mom tells me to do the dishes. Well, if you think enough.
All right. Yeah, there's some arguments I suspect you'll never win, but.
Exactly.
All right. But maybe some of them you do. Okay, that's great. Your relationship with money, right? Like you're a junior, now a senior in high school, making real money, right? Like not many, you know, I think a lot of people are going to listen to this and be really inspired. I'm curious, what your perceptions of money, maybe how have they changed now that you're earning it through your own sort of hard work?
Yeah, so at the beginning of this year, I had taken a break from the business and I was ready to go back into it. And I set a goal for this year to do $32,500 in revenue. And I deducted that meant I would make around $15,000 profit. By the end of this year, haven't quite doubled the revenue, but I doubled the profit from my goal. And so definitely breaking those barriers as far as what I thought was possible. Right. I underestimated myself a lot in the beginning, and I've shown myself that I can do more than I thought I can. As far as my relationship with money, I still think I know the kind of money that's out there and the kind of money that people in business make. So I realized that I'm still down there with the fishes. But one day, I know that it takes a lot more to get to where I want to be.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody listening to this is definitely going to be in the camp of betting on Lincoln. Maybe just shifting gears and maybe closing out on a few things. You know, next year, I guess since you're a senior, like what's the plan? College, business, how are you thinking about that right now?
Yeah, so I think that my goal, if I was to picture perfect, straight out of a book, what would happen is I go to college. I want to go to Michigan. So if anyone's watching the podcast and they're at University of Michigan, hit accept on that letter, please. No, but yeah, I think that my goal would be to find something in college that I can make real money doing. And I think that that's likely going to be in a different category. Do I know what that is yet? No, honestly. But I think that that shift of perspective from being in college and having meeting different people and taking those classes, I think that that might give me the idea. And I'm kind of hoping that that's how it works out.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody on the Michigan admissions team hears this, or somebody listening to this knows them, I think you're not going to find many applicants who've done what Lincoln has done. Last couple things, entrepreneurs maybe that have been influential to you or inspiring. I'm curious if there's anybody, whether it's in your kind of services-oriented businesses or generally folks that you look up to.
Yeah, so when I was learning in the early stages on YouTube, one of the people that really stuck out to me was Alex Hormozi. He has a great thing going where his goal is to teach people business education just through YouTube videos in the hopes that eventually they'll have a business big enough to partner with him. And so obviously I'm not there, I'm not big enough to partner with him, but I've been kind of taking in that value, and with him being someone who started a business that's doing nine figures, being able to hear that, there's not a lot of other places. Like back in the day before YouTube, before recordings, you're not going to be able to hear from people like that. Maybe books, maybe writing, but with the developments in technology and it being more widespread and more people having phones and iPads, you're able to learn a lot quicker.
Great. All right, Lincoln. Well, just phenomenal what you've built. It's really unbelievable. If folks are interested in kind of getting your services or just learning more, where can they find you?
Yeah, so we're on Google. We're on Nextdoor. It's going to be Sunshine Exteriors. Going to be a logo that looks just like this one. Yeah, Nextdoor is neighborhood specific, so likely you won't be able to find us on there, but we are pretty highly ranked on Google. Got close to 30 reviews on there, all 5 stars, so they'll be able to find us there.
Great. Okay, amazing. Well, thank you for the time, Lincoln. This was fantastic.